proud history of coming together and supporting each other during challenging times. I've no doubt that will again be the case over the coming days and weeks. Thank you.
That was the press conference held earlier in Liverpool. You should know that if you miss any shows on LBC, you can listen back on Catch Up on both Global Player and the new LBC app, where you can read and watch the latest from LBC. You can put your news in categories and in the order you want. You can pause and rewind live radio and listen to a range of podcasts. It's free. Get the LBC app from your app store now. Coming up at 4 on LBC, it's Ian Payne. First, Richard Spur.
Morning still to come. Thousands of people in England last year took action to avoid developing type 2 diabetes thanks to a programme launched by the NHS. I'll be asking to what extent diabetes affects your life and how easy or not it is these days to manage it. But first, Britain has been named the work-from-home capital of Europe, with employees spending far more time away from the workplace or office than anywhere across the continent. But why? Now, the lockdowns were certainly the turning point where many businesses realised that their staff didn't need to be at their desks. So, this morning, do you love the independence and the flexibility of sending emails in your pyjamas? Or do you miss the gossip and the camaraderie of the office? Are you someone who's made working from home work for you?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, the Prime Minister says the whole country stands with Liverpool after a car drove into crowds celebrating Liverpool FC's Premier League victory at a parade yesterday. Sir Keir Starmer says he's spoken to the region's mayor, Steve Rotherham, about the terrible events and has thanked emergency services. A 53-year-old man from Merseyside has been arrested. Jenny Sims, Assistant Chief Constable of Merseyside Police, has been giving an update.
We believe this to be an isolated incident, and we are not currently looking for anyone else in relation to it. The incident is not being treated as terrorism. We would ask that people refrain from sharing distressing footage from the incident online, and please share any information directly with our investigation team.
Well, dozens of people have been taken to hospital to be treated for their injuries. Let's bring in LBC's Northwest correspondent Chris Chambers, who's been in Liverpool for us.
We know that 27 people had to be taken to hospital. Two of those had serious injuries, one of those being a child. We know that 20 patients were treated at the scene for their injuries, and four people were actually trapped underneath the car. One of those was a child, and they had to be freed as Merseyside Fire and Rescue Service lifted the car to get them out of there.
Well, the Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer released a statement earlier. Here's LBC's political editor Natasha Clark.
He described the scenes in Liverpool as appalling, saying his thoughts were with all of those injured and affected. He thanked the police and emergency services for obviously a very swift response. He said the incident was shocking and he was being kept up to date on developments.
In other news this morning, resident doctors in England, formerly known as junior doctors, will be balloted on strike action following criticism of the government's recent pay rise offer. Ministers announced last week that most doctors would receive a 4% rise. The British Medical Association says that doesn't go far enough in restoring historical pay freezes. And the King will become only the second monarch to deliver a speech at the state opening of Canada's Parliament later. Charles has arrived in Ottawa with the Queen as he prepares to set out the government's legislative agenda. LBC weather, cloudy with scattered showers in Scotland today, a wet day elsewhere and windy, especially in the south, a high of 18 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Daryl Jackson.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Richard Spur.
Good morning, good to be with you. We will, of course, keep you up to date with events from Merseyside as more information becomes available and more reaction unfolds. But there's other stuff to talk about as well, including one issue which, I mean, is rarely, I think, from the lips certainly of the people I talk to. Almost every week I bump into someone who I've maybe not seen for a long time, and they mention that they've been diagnosed with diabetes or pre-diabetes. We're going to be talking shortly about just what it means to have that condition, because as so many people seem to. It would seem that because of an initiative launched by the NHS, and a very successful one at that, that thousands of people in England took action last year to avoid getting type 2 diabetes. There are things you can do if you're given tests and they say, well, you know, you're sort of eligible. It's not really the right word, is it? But you're likely to develop it. There are things you can do to try and prevent it. I'll be asking to what extent diabetes affects your life and how easy or difficult it is these days to manage it with the ever-marching advance, of course, of technology. But first, I want to talk about, well, and I want you to talk about, something which I could never do. Well, I do little bits and bobs from home. If you work in my business, sometimes you do little things with your voice, which are easily done from home, and they go down a little line, and that's all nice and neat. But it's nothing like doing a full-time job from your living room, or your conservatory, if you're very posh, or your den, or your study. I'm slightly surprised that Britain has been named Europe's work-from-home capital, with employees here spending more days away from the office than in any other nation on the continent. Now, why should that be? Because, of course, the whole of Europe was affected by COVID. It was affected by the lockdown. And, of course, every country dealt with it in a slightly different way. Some went more towards the herd immunity. We were very much for lockdown, isolation, bubbles. We had the furlough scheme. And what transpired as the lockdown progressed and then after the lockdown was that many people, many hundreds of thousands, dare I say millions of people, never really ever needed to be in that office. They never needed to be sitting at that computer terminal, to be sitting by that landline, to be in those meetings face to face. They could do it all from home, with a laptop or a desktop computer, a mobile phone and a reasonably fast broadband connection. And indeed, the civil service have come under fire really quite vehemently in recent months because so many of their number, which by the way are dwindling and being reduced, still work from home, and people think it's a bit of a cop-out. Workers in the UK spend an average of nearly 2 days working from home every week, lucky them. According to a new report from King's College London, which was more time than every single nation apart from Canada. Amongst the 40 nations that were studied, Britain's work-from-home average was the highest in Europe and well above the global average. Workers in South Korea average half a day at home per week. Those in Greece and China typically put in just over about half a day remotely, according to the study, and that rises to 1 day in France, just over one in Australia, and 1.6 in Germany and the US. And the reason I don't think I could work all the time from home, or you know, at least the majority of the time from home, is because of a lack of discipline. I don't know about you, I'm one of these people who, when I go home, I like to shut the door, know that I'm in my own private space, relax, you know, put on the radio or put on the television, put on some music, do a bit of cooking, sit down. I'll let you into a little secret. I always put my pyjamas on as soon as I get home, no matter what time of day it is. And it's a sort of demarcated space, you know. I've always worked in places where I have to travel. So because generally they've been offices. I used to work at the University of Nottingham, which was, of course, office-based. When you work on the radio, you almost always tend to work in an office and a studio. Although, of course, you can do stuff from home if you want to. You know, you have a little box and you plug it in, but it doesn't quite sound the same, and it doesn't really all work as well as if you're actually here, as we all are at LBC, for you 24 hours a day. And I really value that demarcation, you know, that split between the time when I'm at work and the social life I have at work, the conversations I have at work, and the time when I'm at home. But not everybody is like that. And my brother is a prime example of someone who has made working from home really rather successful. He and his wife bought a house which had, it's a semi-detached place, but it's got three stories. And at the top, he's got like a smallish office. And they knew when they bought it that he was going to do that. And he's got his computer up there. He's got a desk and his various bits and bobs. And he runs an online business. Now, don't ask me what he does, because I don't really understand it. Apparently, it's all to do with making people come up first when you Google them, or online recognition, things like that. I'm a bit of a dunce when it comes to all that sort of thing, but apparently it's very good, and apparently he's very good at it. But the fact is that he does it from home, and he's incredibly strict about it. So, you know, he and his wife will take shifts in looking after my nephew, their son, well, two of them now, while he spends time upstairs. He won't, you know, break off to come downstairs and make a social call, or he's into sport, you know, watch the rugby or the football or the cricket or whatever it is on the telly. You know, he won't break off just to go and sit and have a coffee and muse at what's going on in the garden. He really is regimented. He'll work a 9-to-5 day in that office. I mean, obviously, he'll leave for the call of nature. But I have to, if I had a hat, I would take it off to him because he's managed to make it work for himself. And of course, what he's done is save himself enormous overheads because it means he hasn't had to have an office space. He's got lots of people working for them. And by the nature of online businesses, they're all over the world. And I imagine they themselves work from home because all you really need now is a computer screen with a camera and a microphone, a mobile phone, and that's about it. You don't really even need a pen and paper. But, and it's a big but, so many social interactions, so many relationships, both friendship, platonic and romantic, develop at work. You know, my mum, for example, was my my dad's secretary and ended up getting married. And loads of people who you talk to met through work, and they met in the office. And there's that wonderful romance, isn't there, in the, you know, the office with Ricky Gervais, that wonderful burgeoning romance that happens between Dawn and, is it no, it's not Tim, is it? Yeah, it is. I think it's Tim. Which, you know, will they, won't they? And, you know, that sort of scenario has been played out over the years in so many different offices, in so many different parts of the country, in so many different parts of the world. We used to talk about water cooler moments, you know, that moment when you have a laugh and a joke with people at work. Maybe if things aren't going too well for you, and there are people at work, maybe a few of them, that you can confide in and talk to. There's a shoulder to cry on and someone to support. And, you know, sometimes there are arguments. But endless meetings, of course, is another downside. But for me, it's very much six of one and half a dozen of the other when it comes to being in a workplace, being in an office, being in a be it a warehouse or a factory or an office or wherever it is that you work, and being your own boss in your own space. And being your own boss in your own space and working from home, I would sort of include in that being a lorry driver or being a truck driver. Because in a sense, you know, that's your own mobile office, isn't it? It's your own space. There's no one else in it. You've got bosses and you've got line managers, just as anyone has who works from home. But really, at the end of the day, it's just you there on your own. There's nobody breathing down your neck. So this morning, I know it's not a terribly political or divisive question. It's more of a curious and slightly nosy one, really. And one which I want to see, you know, whether your response bears out this research that King's College has done. Are we a nation which now is really fallen in love with working at home rather than working in the office environment? And are you somebody, are you someone who loves working for yourself, who loves not having your own boss, who loves being in your own environment, calling the shots, saying when you're going to start, saying when you're going to stop? Or would you miss the camaraderie, the fun, the gossip, the company, the routine of going into the office and being at work and all that comes with it? 0345 6060973. WhatsApp, same number. If you want to text, you can do 84850 or ask Alexa to send a comment to LBC. This on the WhatsApp says, I work full-time office-based. I would love to work at home for half the week, but the manager won't allow it. I don't know why this is. Well, I suppose I do know why it is, because my feeling is that managers will suspect that if you're working from home, you're going to shirk. You know, you're going to go off and collect the kids or do the shopping or watch the telly. And I've heard all sorts of ploys that people use when they've got their computer terminal. That's very old-fashioned, isn't it? When they've got their computer online at home. But apparently, I don't give away too many secrets, apparently there are little gadgets that you can put underneath your mouse, and it makes it look like it's moving. It just jolts it from time to time, so it looks like you're actually there. There are little things that will tap keys on your keyboard occasionally, just to make it look like you're actually there. Whereas, in fact, you've gone down the pub for a swift half. Maybe that's what managers are worried about. But personally, if I were the owner of a small to medium business, I'd be delighted not to have to lay out the rent or the lease for a premises if I could trust all my workers to work from home. But what are the pros and cons of sharing your private space, you know, your domestic home space, with your working environment? And I'd love to know, if you're somebody who is rather more disciplined and structured than me, how you've made it work. Was it something that you started? I'd be fascinated to know, actually. Was it something that you'd never done before, but you started doing during the lockdown, and then became accustomed to it? Or perhaps your boss then said, well, you know, it worked during COVID. Why shouldn't we carry on doing it now? 0345 6060973. Jerry says, I think in other countries people talk to each other outside the home and the pub. You say hello in shops, you interact with others in public spaces, not just with your friends. So going outside is nice. Also, it probably rains less, so people enjoy going outside. It even means going to an office. And this from Pete. Richard, if you do an office job from home, you'll be one of the first victims of AI. My daughter is a barrister and spends most of her time working from home. I keep warning her to go in and mingle with people. Her company are spending hundreds of thousands on AI in the coming years, and it worries me. Is that a worry for you if you're someone that works from home, that you could soon be replaced by an AI? I don't quite see the difference between that and someone who works with a computer largely at work. But we, it would seem, are the greatest, the largest nation of home workers in Europe. Why is that? And I'd like to hear from you if you're somebody who has made that work from you. 0345 6060 973.
LBC.
Where would we be without the curiosity to explore?
It takes us to new places.
It even got us to the moon.
And now there's never been a better time to satisfy your curiosity about electric cars. With great offers in our award-winning range, including the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, available with £2,000 deposit contribution and 0% APR. Discover more at Hyundai.co.uk. Ends 30th of June 25. Finance subject to status. Hyundai Motor UK Limited is a credit broker, not a lender. Terms apply.
Barclays ready-made investments. The clue's in the name. Not Barclays where do I begin investments. You can start from £50. That's why they're not difficult to get started investments either. And you can choose your risk level. So they're hardly in at the deep end investments. So if you've got savings and you want to help grow your money over 5 years or more, then search Barclays Ready Made Investments. Make money work for you. Investing is not for everyone. The value of investments can fall as well as rise, and you may get back less than you invest. T's and C's apply.
Richard Spur on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Good morning. Britain has been named Europe's work-from-home capital, with employees spending more days away from the office than any other nation on the continent. But have you made working from home, or, you know, working in your own environment, be it a van or a lorry or a, I don't know, a mobile home, a kiosk, your bedroom, have you made that work for you? And what is the key to doing so? What can you tell people like me who lack the discipline to have those boundaries? Mark is a new caller in Bromley. Morning, Mark. You're very welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. How nice to talk to you. So tell me your story and how you work.
So I work, I would say, 95% from home.
Right.
I used to go into the office most of the time, but prior to COVID, actually, I started working from home. So it wasn't much of a change during COVID. But during that time, I didn't have to claim furlough. I just carried on working as usual. And I've continued ever since. And I think it's a great convenience. It saves money for my employer because they don't have to provide me with a desk. Mm. And I don't have to commute, which is good for me.
And how, I mean, how have you arranged it? Do you have a separate room that you only use for work? You know, so it's very much demarcated from the rest of your house, or do you use, you know, the kitchen table or something like that?
Well, it's an office within my dining room, but it's pretty much my space.
Yeah, okay, and you can spread all your papers out. But, I mean, presumably your employer was quite pleased because, you know, it's saving them overheads.
Well, indeed, and I think there's another aspect to this, which is the environmental aspect. We already have a a transport system that's under strain, and it has an environmental impact. So I can't see what the negatives are about people working from home, provided they're productive.
I mean, I suppose if I'm being nitpicking, let's say it's winter, maybe you have to have the heating on and the lights on and you're powering your computer and stuff, when otherwise you'd be at work and someone else is paying for the energy. I suppose that's a little downside, isn't it?
It is, but I think you can offset that by not needing to commute. I mean, what does that cost people every week?
Well, absolutely. And not only are you saving on fuel, but it's green as well, because you're helping the environment. Now, tell me, do you have set hours? So do you set your alarm clock just as you would if you do at the office and start working at a certain time, stop working at a certain time, or do the boundaries blur when you're working at home?
Well, certainly for me, the boundaries blur to the point I might work till 2 in the morning and then get up at midday and then start work again. So it all depends on my mood. But as long as I've fulfilled what I need to do, I don't see that's a problem.
It's interesting you should say that, because I was talking to the very nice lady who's been trying to help me out with getting a mortgage recently, and she's one of these people who, you know, it might not always be available at, let's say, 10 or 11 in the morning, but she quite frequently sends an email at about 10:30 at night. You know, it doesn't seem to bother her whether she's working at she doesn't work at the crack of dawn. She tends to work later at night, but of course, these days, that's fine, isn't it? Because an email arrives, you know, it's not like a phone call. It doesn't wake you up, and then you can see it as soon as you're up in the morning. Would you ever go back? Is there anything you miss about the office environment? Because I have to say, over the years, you know, I've worked with some people who I like very much, and some of them have become very, very dear friends. And I've worked with some people who I didn't care for very much. And that's life, isn't it? But is there anything you miss about the old-fashioned work environment where you go in, you meet people, you know, you chat in the kitchen or by the water machine, that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I guess I did. But I think as more and more people have adapted to online meetings, usually at the beginning and the end of a meeting, you'll have a bit of a chit chat, and all right, it's not quite the same as seeing people in the flesh, but because the other side of this is that you get to meet with more people because of the convenience of online meeting. People can attend many more meetings, so I meet many more colleagues now in a week than I would have done several years ago.
But you raised a really interesting point, because some people say that it's all very well having Zoom or Teams, or, you know, and you've got like 20 faces in boxes on a screen and you're all talking and everyone's saying, sorry, I think you're on mute. But often people say, unless you're in the room, you can't read the eyes, you can't read the body language, you know, you can't quite get the measure of someone, particularly if you're interviewing them for a job. Some people say that there's nothing to beat actually having that, you know, being in the room face to face.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that, but I guess it depends how well you know your colleagues before you only start then seeing them online.
Yeah, yeah. And it sounds to me, Mark, like you're a confirmed worker from home. Why do you think the Brits just finally, I mean, I don't expect you really to have an answer to this, but I'm just putting it out there. Why do you think the Brits are the nation in Europe that work most from home?
Oh, I have no idea.
Neither do I. And I would love for someone to come up with an answer. maybe we're just the most antisocial nation. I can't quite believe that. But maybe we are just the most antisocial nation.
It could be down to our transport system.
Well, that's an incredibly good point. You know, if honestly, the amount of hair I tear out when my trains are delayed or cancelled, and at the amount they cost, and I'm constantly banging on about trains, so I'm not going to do that again. But honestly, the transport system in this country is so awful. So that is one very, very big plus. So you could well be right. Mark, thank you so much for getting in touch. Lovely to have you here as a first-time caller at LBC. 0345 6060973. Have you made working from home work from you? Dean is another first-time caller on the lovely Isle of Wight. Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Tell me your situation.
Yes, I've been working from home for nearly 3 years. I used to commute. Do the office trek daily, and it's a bit of a commute for me. But 3 years ago, or just nearly 3 years ago, I managed to change that, and work allowed me from work from home, and I've been doing it ever since, and it's a game changer, really.
What's the nature of your business? What sort of stuff do you do?
So I work for an electronics manufacturing company, but I'm in the procurement world, so I'm buying product from around the world, so I don't need to be in the office as such, but so therefore I can do my work from home.
Are there other people that live in the house with you? Because I can quite see how if someone lives on their own, it would be relatively easy to work from home, but, you know, if, like, for example, in my brother's case, you've got two little kids screaming and, you know, sort of banging at the door and saying, you know, Daddy, I need to go to the toilet or whatever, it might be a little bit more difficult. Have you got other people living with you or not?
Yeah, so people are living with me, and we have the grandkids in, but I have a separate office, so that's up in the attic, so I'm out of the way, so to speak, so in a quiet room, so it's all good.
Do you think that there are going to be any great downsides to just the way we sort of cohere as a society? Because nowadays, people don't go down the pub so much, they don't go out clubbing, because when people want to meet romantically, they tend to do so online. Even when people want to meet platonically, they tend to do so online and chat rather than going out for coffee, you know, rather than arranging to meet. And I just sort of feel that to an extent, because of social media, that is, you know, and online, you know, getting together sites and apps, I just wonder whether working from home is just another nail in that coffin, you know, less face-to-face contact. It just sometimes strikes me as a bit of a shame.
It is, and I think you do miss some of that face-to-face by being at home. Yes, there are Teams meetings and Zoom and all the other stuff, that you know, the other things you can have, but yes, you do miss the face-to-face stuff sometimes. And, you know, that is the one downside, I suppose. You can become a little isolated.
You said something interesting, which is that you said nearly 3 years, I think, now that you've been working from home, and that you get more done working from home than you would do if you were in the office as you used to be. What sort of distractions were there in the office that stopped you working and stopped you being so productive?
If you're in a multiple office, which I wasn't in an office on my own, so you get to hear, you know, the day-to-day office politics, the other people asking you questions because they think you know something that they need to help with, et cetera, you don't get that when you're working from home, so you can just get on and do what you do. The downside is that you do miss that office politics side of it, and therefore you miss what is actually going on in the office sometimes, but there are positives, there are negatives, but for me, the positives outweigh the negatives.
And there's not an extent to which you're constantly thinking, oh no, is there another email? Is there another message waiting? Whereas if you've switched off your computer and, you know, let's say you've switched off your work phone, if you have a work phone and a private phone, you're not going to know about anything until the next morning. Is there that, you know, that it encroaches into your private life?
It can do. You have to be disciplined. I have a wife that does help me on that discipline, so to speak.
That's
so
good.
When the office shuts down, then the phone goes off, and when I can, and certainly the computer goes off. So you have to be a bit careful with it. But for me, yeah, it's all good.
Some people are incredibly strict, and I admire that actually. And I think in a funny way, it helps to maintain your sanity if you do have a work phone and a private phone, and you know, unless there's some enormous emergency, if you turn it off, I think you it's very, very important for your mental health to have that private time, isn't it? And to have that boundary, and almost, I think, actually to physically demarcate an area of your house where work takes place and leisure doesn't.
Yeah, and I think that does help with the office space. It is like leaving work when you come out of the office space, and therefore you can put the work aside. I think for me, if I was working in my lounge, or if I was having to work in the dining room where other people were, then yes, I could see where that would encroach, and therefore the phone would encroach, the computer would encroach. But for me, it is separate space, and it is like I go to work in the morning and then I come home at night.
Dean, Lovely talking to you. Thank you for your story, Dean, there, a first-time caller on the Isle of Wight. And this persistence of home working since the COVID lockdowns is, according to the chap who led this research for King's College London, is becoming, and I quote, a defining feature of the UK labour market. He says this isn't just a post-pandemic hangover. British workers have clearly decided that they're not going back to their old ways. The findings raise fresh fears for productivity in the economy amid growing concern amongst bosses about the detrimental impact of working remotely. And Lord Rose, who's the former boss of Asda, has said that productivity is less good if you work from home and your personal development suffers. He said earlier this year, we're creating a whole generation, and maybe even a generation beyond that, of people who are used to actually not doing what he calls proper work. And there is that risk, isn't there, that you can be accused, if you're working from home, perhaps of not doing proper work, of shirking slightly, of, checking your emails in between doing other stuff. But Jamie Dixon, who's the boss of JP Morgan, which is, of course, a vast, vast concern, America's biggest bank, also railed against remote work. And it was actually in a leaked recording, which took place a couple of months ago. He told staff, don't give me this blank that work from home Friday works. I call a lot of people on Fridays, and there's not a goddamn person you can get a hold of. I've had it with this kind of stuff. So there are some employees, I think, who just won't tolerate their workers working from home. But are you somebody who's made it work for you? And what tips and advice would you give for others who want to try and make a go of it? And the same goes if you're a trucker, you know, or somebody who works in your own vehicle. What are the plus sides and the downsides of, in that respect, in that environment, being your own boss? 0345 6060973. WhatsApp, same number, or text 84850. I'm Richard Spur. It's LBC with the headlines, Daryl Jackson.
27 people, including a child, have been taken to hospital after a car drove into crowds at Liverpool's Premier League victory parade yesterday. Two people have serious injuries. A 54-year-old local man has been arrested. Police say they're not treating the incident as terrorism and are not looking for anyone else in connection to what happened. Resident doctors in England will be balloted on strike action after the government said most would get a 4% pay rise. The British Medical Association says that won't restore historical pay freezes. And the King will become only the second monarch to deliver a speech at the state opening of Canada's Parliament later. Charles will set out the government's legislative agenda. LBC weather, cloudy with scattered showers in Scotland today. A wet day elsewhere and windy, especially in the south, with a high of 18 degrees.
This is LBC.
This is what award-winning customer service sounds like from Real Octopus Energy Calls.
Octopus are an absolute breath of fresh air.
Your customer service was tip-top. You know, I couldn't fault it.
People are friendly on the telephone. You can always get a problem solved.
People like yourself and all of your colleagues have done such a wonderful job.
The customer service is really good.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running.
The best family time is family holiday time. And with EasyJet Holidays, brilliant summer package holidays start from just £299 per person, with millions of free kids' places available. Search EasyJet Holidays. Get out there. Price based on 2 adults for 5 nights, limited availability, 1 free child place for every 2 full paying adults sharing, at all protected, T's and C's apply.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
This is LBC with Richard Spur. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Good morning. We'll bring you another update on events on Merseyside in around about 3 or 4 moments' time. But first, Britain has been named the work-from-home capital of Europe, with employees spending far more time away from the workplace or office than anywhere across the continent. Why do you suppose that we are the work-from-home capital of Europe in this country, I wonder? Lockdowns, of course, were the turning point, and many, both employees and employers, realised that, well, you know, they didn't need to have offices. They didn't need to have people sitting round tables, you know, meeting all the time, because it could all be done online. Do you love the independence and the flexibility of sending emails, you know, from bed when you're having your cereal in the morning, and, you know, being able to go downstairs in your slippers and pyjamas and hold a high-powered conversation with somebody as long as you're not in vision? Or do you miss the gossip, the camaraderie, the support, the social side of the office? There was a time when, you know, at work, you'd go for a pint at lunchtime. Be very frowned upon these days. It'd have to be a mineral water or something of that sort. Or, you know, you go for a drink after work. Very few places do that now. And I think work has started to be less of a social environment than maybe it used to be. But are you somebody who's made working from home work for you? And I'd love to hear from you if you're somebody who maybe is a trucker or you drive a van or, you know, your own vehicle is your workplace, that's your domain. What is it that you love about that? And is there anything you miss about being with other people during the day? 0345 6060973. Steve's in Oxford. Morning, Steve.
Morning, Richard. How are you?
I'm good, and thank you very much for asking. So tell me about your situation. Do you work from home?
I do, but I'm more hybrid. So I can work from home basically whenever I want.
Yeah.
But there are times I may have to go and see clients. But pretty much, if there's nothing on, I can work from home. But I will say this, you know, I think working from home is great if you've got a quiet day to catch up on your admin and stuff like that. But I think if you was to do that full time, 5 days a week or 6 days a week, after a while, I think it will affect your mental health. I think that it's good to go in the office at least 2 or 3 times a week just to be around your colleagues, you know, have a laugh, have a joke, because I've tried that where I've worked a whole week. And I found myself getting a little bit down. And then I've tried another week where I've worked a couple of days and then gone in the office, and I felt a lot happier.
Yeah, you see, that would be my worry, I think, about working from home. Because, yes, of course, you can talk to people on Zoom and Teams, and you can have video calls and video conferences, but it's not quite the same as being in the same room as a person or people, is it?
No, it's not. And, you know, even though I'm in the office, because I work for a local authority, some of the meetings will even still be on Teams. It's mainly Teams.
Yeah.
But you've still got people, colleagues around you that you're working closely with. The only time normally I work from home is if it's a day where I don't see anything going on in my calendar, and I'll take advantage of that. So I'll use that to catch up on notes and admin and stuff like that. Because where I work, obviously, there's people that come in asking for me. But I really think it's important for someone's mental health to sort of do a bit of both, to be honest.
I think that's right. And what about workplace romances? Because there's no end of people, maybe of the generation past, who got together because they worked together. I mentioned that my mum was my dad's secretary, and they met at work. And that's the case, I think, for millions of people. I just wonder how many, you know, potential romances don't take place now because so many people are working from home. Can you fall in love over a grainy Teams meeting? Maybe you can. I don't know.
I think it depends on how long you've been speaking to that person.
Yes.
Like, there's people that I've spoken to, and I've known them for 3 years, and I meet them in Teams meetings, and I haven't met them physically, but I've grown to really like them as a person and formed good friendships with them. I don't think there's anything like being with somebody, you know, in the office, you know, talking to someone physically, having a cup of tea together, going on a break together. Working from home is a good advantage in so many aspects, but I also think it could really, really diminish physical communication, mental health, lots of things. There's a lot of negatives as well.
Well, I think you make an extremely good point, and you're a housing officer, and I assume that you have to have a lot of meetings because there are a lot of things to discuss.
I do, and I have to meet people. So, you know, I might have a in my calendar to either for them to come in the office or for me to go to their home. So my specific role in my job is I'm not just housing officer, but I also support people on the Homes for Ukraine scheme.
Right.
And also refugees. So I'm dealing with refugees that have just got a positive asylum status in the hotels, but I'm also dealing with Homes for Ukraine. So with most housing officers, that's it. Once they house someone, it's over and done with. But I also have to provide the ongoing support once they've moved, once they've been housed, along with a liaison officer that works alongside me.
I mean, this is a very specific point, but you raised an interesting circumstance there. You're talking about refugees, some of whom come from Ukraine. Have they always got ready access to smartphones, computers, cameras? I suppose that they have. Or are some of them in a position where they do in fact have to physically come into a building to discuss the future?
They do. I mean, a lot of them do have phones where they could, but we don't like to do it that way because obviously I need to see their documents physically. Yes. The Home Office have just introduced the e-visa, but I still need to see that person physically to see that that is them and the documents they're providing me matches who they are.
And it sounds to me like you've got quite an enlightened boss to allow you to, as you say, hybrid work, to do some at home and some in the office. Not all bosses would be perhaps so progressive.
No, they're very good because this is I've been doing this role for nearly 3 years. This role was rolled out about 3 years ago when the Ukraine started off with problems and the Homes for Ukraine come in. So I pretty much was put in the hot seat and had to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
So they know I'm doing my job. They can see that I've been successful. So I pretty much get left alone. I've got really good bosses.
Would you ever envisage a scenario where you either worked 100% at home, you know, never commuting, never going into an office, everything done through the computer or on the phone, or went back to full-time, you know, 9-to-5 behind a desk?
No, I couldn't. Because of my role at the moment, I have to do house visits. If there wasn't any house visits and I could absolutely do everything from home, no, I don't think I could. Because I enjoy going into the office, I enjoy meeting my colleagues. You know, we have a good laugh, we can go out for a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, something to eat. You know, and we have fun in there. And I think morality building, you physically have to be around people for that. You can tell jokes online to people on Teams, but you know, it's not the same as being there. I think real physical contact is important. We're humans, we're pack animals.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, the emojis are fine, but they can't always they can't always communicate the nuances, can they? Really nice talking to you, Stephen. I'm so glad that it's worked out well for you. See, that's a perfect example, isn't it, of somebody who's managed to make what Steve referred to as a hybrid situation work. He's a housing officer, so for various reasons he does have to go into work. But his boss is progressive and, you know, enlightened enough to allow him to do certain stuff from home. But there does have to be trust there, doesn't there? I mean, unless you're your own boss, of course. There does have to be trust that somebody will work from home and, you know, continue to earn the money that you pay them per hour. This on WhatsApp, 0345 6060973, says, Richard, my daughter was forced to work from home in her first graduate job and her mental health was severely affected. Since moving to a new company and working in the office 3 days a week, she's become a different person. She has friends and face-to-face conversations. Many people are being pushed into staying at home by employers who don't want the office costs. This cannot go on. I'm 60 and my whole working life was outside the home. I'm glad I had it that way. I'll tell you another little story, actually, in a few moments' time about not working during the daytime in an office environment. But first, let's go to Tom, who's in Oldham. Tom, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. What would you like to say?
Well, what it is, I'm at the opposite end of the scale.
Right.
I'm 81 years of age, so I don't work. I've done my working bit, but at the same time, I haven't got a wife, and I'm in the house all day. How many cups of tea can you make? You go out, you get a bit of shopping, and you come back, and that's it. Now, these people, they fall out of bed and fall onto a keyboard and start messing with it. And being there all day, that must be absolutely total unsociable.
Well, I mean, I'm not quite as old as you, but I am old enough to have been brought up before the internet and before mobile phones, and we did have basic computers when I was young, but they were the sort of thing that we maybe spent about 5% of our time on. So I know what you mean about the traditional workplace and, you know, having a secretary and the typing pool and the boss and the supervisor and the manager and the boardroom and all the rest of it. But I mean, did you enjoy your working days in that more traditional environment? What did you do, by the way?
Well, over the course of my life, I worked as a painting decorator. I served my time at that, and I went on then to work for the government for a while, and I come away from that, and I had a pub. And I stayed there for 20 years. And that was it, basically. When I finished at 74, I think I finished, and I thought, God, what am I going to do?
It sounds to me like you really weren't... Because some people, they look forward to retirement. They look forward to being able to put their feet up, you know, watch the birds come to the bird feeder, not get too concerned about when you wake up or when you go to bed. It sounds to me like you're somebody who loved work and actually wanted to carry on working.
Well, I did love work. Now, that's the reverse of what's going on at the moment now, you know, about certain aspects of work. I mean, I had people in a club, and they said to me, "Oh, next year I'm finished. Thank God for that." I said, "Hey, give us 6 months," I said, "and I'll tell you what, you'd be counting the pattern on the wallpaper in the house."
But this, you know, I'm no one to preach to anyone about anything. But it's funny. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, Martin, who's in his mid 80s, 86 I think now. He seemed to be 87. And honestly, his social life is a whirlwind. It's far busier. Well, I don't really have a social life anymore. But it's incredible. He sings in about 3 different choirs. Goodness knows how many clubs he's involved with. He's always going off to visit friends and having lunches, and it's hard to find him at home. But you know, he's
when I get down on a Friday, I go to the hospital for a small job, and then I do my social club, which I'm the president of, and I compare the show.
Oh right, great.
And I'm also member of a Masonic lodge, which I enjoy going to.
Yeah,
and. If I didn't have that, I think I'd have gone.
But it sounds to me like you've got a fair, you know, you've got a fair bit in your social calendar, and I know that the Masons provide incredible camaraderie for people that, you know, are part of that particular. But do you know, Tom, there are some sort of cliches, aren't there? Almost tropes about older people. You know, old people, they like to go to bingo, or they like to go to whist drives and stuff like that. You know, not all old people do like to go to bingo and whist drives. They like to do things that a range of ages get involved with.
You see, a lot of what they say about working from home and what have you, social side of it, that's got something to do with our heritage of a lot of pubs closing.
You're absolutely right. you are absolutely right. So many pubs have closed down. I can't blame the smoking ban any longer. I used to, but I can't anymore. It's what I do blame is the, well, rising living costs and the rising tax on alcohol. But the other thing I blame is the fact that people socialise so much more online. And that was, I think, the first point you made. People socialise so much online that pubs are losing out. People don't go down to the pub to meet people anymore or to do business or to, you know, have a chat or... Yeah. And you're right. And for a lot of older people, I think, you know, their local post office has closed down. Their church congregation or their temple or their gurdwara or whatever, you know, is dwindling. Their pub, you know, their pub shut, there's no post office, there's nowhere to talk. Even if they go to the supermarket, there's only one person at an actual checkout. The rest of it's all self-service. So the opportunity to socialise, I think, particularly for older people, has contracted so much.
They had have something on TV that said, get Britain talking, talk. And to the people who'd put it up, I sent them a few photographs of the high street with the butcher, the hairdressers, the bakers, and all that. I said, this is where people talk. Yeah. I said, if your wife went into a supermarket and was on aisle 3 shouting to Betty in aisle 7, what are you doing? You know, hang on a minute.
No, you're absolutely right. The very, very wise words. I think everything we do, all of our transactions have become far less personal. Thank you to Tom. Still time to get in touch, if you'd like to, about working from home. Britain has been named Europe's work-from-home capital, with employees spending more days away from the office than in any other nation on the continent. But have you made working from home work for you, and how? 0345 6060 973.
This is LBC.
If you've been injured in an accident at work, you could be entitled to thousands of pounds in compensation. Talk to Harris Fowler today. For over 25 years, we've helped people who've been injured at work, in a warehouse, a factory, on site, or anywhere. With a 97% success rate, call the award-winning Harris Fowler now. 0800 213 214. It's no win, no fee, no risk. Harris Fowler, the personal injury solicitor.
Imagine your dream holiday made possible by comparing cheap flights on Kayak, walking on an unspoilt goes on for miles beach on the Sardinian coast, plunging into the splendor of an idyllic lagoon in Greece. Ah, yes, this is the life. All you have to do is actually book it. Don't holidays. Use Kayak to compare prices from hundreds of travel sites and airlines to find your dream deal. Search Kayak and go see for yourself.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Hi, I'm Sava, founder of Cool You. And when it comes to getting aircon into London's hot and stuffy apartments and listed buildings, I'm the daddy. For years, Cool You have supplied and installed fully internal aircon systems with no mess, no fuss, and no external condensers. So head to coolyou.london today. Cool You, for a cool, comfortable home.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC with Richard Spur. Text 84850.
Good morning. After the news, thousands of people in England last year took action to avoid developing type 2 diabetes thanks to a programme launched by the NHS. I'll be asking to what extent diabetes affects your life, maybe in ways that those that don't have the condition would never realise, and how easy or not, is it these days to manage it? How good is the technology? How good are the resources out there for you to live with diabetes, either type 2 or type 1? And what sort of limitations and implications does it have for your life? I'd love to hear from you on 0345 6060 973. I'll also read some more messages on working from home. Do get in touch, by the way, if you'd like to call about that. I'd be very, very glad to take your call. I'm sure I can squeeze that in between now and the news at 2 o'clock. But of course, we must reflect the major national news story of the day, as witnesses have described the horrendous moment that a car rammed into a crowd of people who were attending Liverpool Football Club's victory parade following their Premier League win. Well, we're joined now by LBC's Northwest correspondent Chris Chambers. Chris, thanks for taking the time. What can you tell us at this point?
This was an incident which happened around 20 minutes after Liverpool's parade had come to an end in the city centre. We know there were around a million people in the city centre, all who had been here celebrating what was meant to be a momentous day. But obviously this situation has then occurred in the side road off the main street in Liverpool. And we know that a number of people have suffered fairly significant injuries. 27 people were taken to hospital, some with serious injuries. We know two people had suffered serious injuries, and one of those was a child. 20 other people were treated at the scene, but didn't actually need to go to hospital for their injuries. And we know that four people were trapped underneath the car, one of those being a child, and Merseyside's Fire and Rescue Service had to lift that car and remove those people from underneath the car. An absolutely terrifying situation for everybody that was involved and for those who witnessed. And, you know, we're talking about large crowds of people who were in the city centre starting to make their way home. And so, you know, this has been a very frightening situation for people. Great in many ways that no one has died. That was the big concern. And especially when we look back to what happened in Southport last year and the response to what happened there, there was a big fear that, you know, there would be a lot of tension and we could see, you know, a similar kind of situation pan out from that. But we know that one man has been arrested. He's a 53-year-old white man who's been arrested in connection with this incident. Police say it's not terror-related and that they do believe it is isolated. But of course, you know, these investigations will continue.
So no other hint as to what the possible motivation may have been. It strikes me that the emergency services were there pretty rapidly. Was that the case?
That's very much the case. You know, the city centre was packed with emergency services because, you know, in any situation where you have a large-scale event, you always have lots of police and ambulance on hand. And that is a good thing. The location where this has happened, it is literally maybe a minute or so from where the main hub of all the activity was taking place. So there was a lot of ambulance there, a lot of police there straight away. You know, we had St. John's Ambulance who were in the city centre as well, who you wouldn't normally have. So there was a lot of people on hand to come and issue first aid and support people and just clear the area, because, you know, people had been partying all day. There were lots of people who would start to make their way home. We weren't necessarily clear on exactly what had happened, and we're just coming upon what had happened, having come down different side streets and things like that. So it was a difficult scene for the police especially to manage. But, you know,
and I believe that you've been talking to some eyewitnesses.
That's right. Les was in the city centre making his way back from the parade. He saw everything that happened, and he's spoken exclusively to LBC.
So I'm still traumatised. You see it on TV, don't you? But you never see it there.
Just, you know, did you actually see that happen? Emotional.
I was like, where
were you on the steps, weren't it? All the kiddies jumping up, crying, women crying, hugging girls.
Banging the door behind us.
What's going on?
Because people are panicking. They don't know what's going on, do they?
Thanks to Chris, LBC's Northwest correspondent there. And of course, we'll keep you up to date as that unfolds. Ian will be after me and then Nick. As more information comes to light, LBC is the place where you'll hear it. We're going to be talking after news about diabetes, something which I think I rarely, if ever, talked about on LBC. Although I constantly, barely a week goes by when I don't hear from a friend or someone I know who says, well, I've just been diagnosed with type 2 and it means I've got to do this and that, and I can't eat this, that, and the other. Some people, of course, have type 1 diabetes and have to inject themselves. Famously, Theresa May, I think, didn't she, had type 1 diabetes. But it's a condition which has far more implications than, you know, simply not eating lots of sugar. It can affect you in lots of different ways. So let's talk a little bit about that after the news. I'd like to hear from you if you are somebody that has diabetes of any sort. How do you deal with it? How do you manage it? How does it impact your life? And have things got better over the years? The resources and facilities that are available to you. 0345 6060973. Also today, lots going on. Britain has been named Europe's work-from-home capital, with employees spending more days away from the office than in any other nation on the continent. But have you made working from home work for you? Sarah is in Bishop Stortford. Sarah, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, what a lovely cheery voice.
Thank you.
What's your story?
So my partner, I'm currently not working, I'm looking after two young boys, but my partner works from home, and I think for us it works really, really well.
Yeah.
He's worked from home since COVID. Pre-COVID, our eldest was 3 and under, and he was out the door by 7. He was in 8 p.m, 7 p.m. if he was lucky, just to do bedtime. So he missed a lot of my eldest's kind of babyhood and toddlerhood. Whereas as he's got older, and with the arrival of his younger brother, They now have breakfast together. Even if he works beyond his finishing time, which he does every day, he's still able to have dinner with them every evening. So it really, really works for us. So I think it's dependent on the stage of life you're in as to whether it's beneficial for you or not.
It's interesting. I mean, it's a bit like, not quite, what I was saying with my brother, because he's now got two, he and his wife have got two young kids, one's five and the other one's only about, I think, about 7 or 8 months now. And it's difficult because, of course, they're in the house, but he has to have time away from them. So
either... Does he have a separate working space?
He has a separate working space. He has, so he has an office on the top floor of their house. Sometimes his wife's mum comes, you know, the grandmother comes. Sometimes my mum, the other grandmother, comes and looks after the kids. It's helped now by the fact that he's old enough to go to school. But it can be tricky, can't it, I think, when you've got kids. That's one of the difficulties of working from home.
Yeah, I think the where we struggle, so both of mine are at school just, and I think play dates, I'm very much like, we always have half the class back at our house and things like that, but it's much easier in the summer where I can throw them all in the garden. Otherwise it is, don't be too loud, guys, because daddy's upstairs. And so, yeah, that can be a bit of a struggle. He's in the office one day a week, so I try to make the play dates, everyone's over on that one day a week.
But he must be so happy now that he's able to have that little bit of extra time with the kids.
Absolutely. He really, really loves it. He wouldn't change it for the world. And he changed employer, and he went from 5 days at home to 4 days at home. Yeah. And he'd rather do the five at home, but it worked well.
It's a balancing act, isn't it? How nice to finish on such a positive one. Sarah, thanks so much for getting in touch. Sarah and Bishop Stortford. Sorry if I haven't read your message. I'm not going to have time to read them all. Quick one here. Working from home, if a company insists on however many days in the office, fine, but this will result in them losing and not attracting the best talent. This is 2025, not 1905. The world has moved on. All right. After the news, we're going to be talking about diabetes, something which is, well, incredibly prevalent in this country and amongst ever younger people. There's been an initiative launched by the NHS, and it means that more people are avoiding it. But if you've got diabetes of any type, how do you deal with it? And